The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
I believe there are mountains to scale, and I believe there are valleys to walk through. I believe there's an enemy to defeat, and there's victory ahead. I believe there is power in the name of Jesus Christ for us, no matter what we go through, to be able to sustain us, to keep us, to provide for us, to take us through to the other side. What a mighty God we serve. Hallelujah. All right, so I just want to share that with you. And my message this morning is about stewardship. So turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you. Love that background music. It's great. Matthew 7, verse 24. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on a rock. And rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does them and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. And so it was, when Jesus ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at his teachings. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. You see that what Jesus was doing, going about teaching about the kingdom of God, was different than what the scribes were doing. The scribes were teaching people they had to obey the law, they had to do this, they had to do that. They had no authority to do what they were doing, but Jesus came in all power and all authority, and he spoke with confidence about the word of God. And it astounded people. They were amazed by his power. Here in this parable, we see something taking place. We see two kinds of people. There are two types of people in the kingdom of God, and that's my first point this morning. Now, I like to say there are three kinds of people. There are people who make things happen, there are people who watch things happen, and then there are those who wonder what happened. That happens, huh? Amen. I like to run with the crowd and make things happen that really understand that there is a kingdom work for us to do. And that we get out and do the kingdom work. Now, sometimes the people who wonder what happened, we have to give people grace who just, you know, they're new babes in Christ. We just need to extend grace to them so that they can grow up and become full-fledged believers in Jesus Christ. Disciples. We have to disciple people. But the people who sit and watch things happen, that's the crowd that bothers me. And according to the scripture, Jesus called them fools. They're foolish because they know what needs to be done. They see what should happen. And instead of building their house on a solid rock, they built their house on sand. They just watched things happen. Now, it's very important that we recognize what Jesus is saying here. There's two types of people. Now, my definition, I guess we could just narrow it down to those two types because the wonder what happened and those who watch things happen, in some cases, are both very foolish. One is because they refuse to learn and expand and grow, and the others understand, hear, but do nothing with it. They don't follow it. Here's what Benjamin Franklin said. He said, a fool can criticize, condemn, and complain, and most fools do. The Proverbs reinforce this. Proverbs 3:5. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. The way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but that hearkeneth unto counsel, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. So you see, what we have to do is we have to recognize that God has given us the ability to learn and to grow and to become. Now, here's what we have to understand when it comes to stewardship, because we are talking about stewardship. And that is that we own nothing. There isn't anything that you have is yours. The Word of God is very clear. Proverbs tells us that the cattle on 1,000 hills belongs to God. The heavens and the earth are God's. But here's the other thing he says in Proverbs. Mary, do you have that scripture? Put those two scriptures up there, please. Find them? There's Psalms and Psalms 50, I believe, and Proverbs. I can tell you exactly what they're. There you go. Good. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. It all belongs to God. Now, what we have to do is catch hold of this reality, everything that you think you have, that four-wheeler that you bought is not yours, whether you like it or not. So if God says, get rid of it, you better be willing to release it. That car you drive is not yours. If God says, give it to your neighbor, you got to get rid of it, because it's God's. It's God's to do with as God pleases. That money in your pocket is not yours. I know for some of you, you almost have a heart attack when God says give. When Pastor Rob says it's time to take the offering, instead of clapping, you go, ugh. Listen, I'm speaking truth because I know how hard it is to let go of that money. Because it's connected, directly connected to our heart. And when we give it, sometimes it pulls on our heart. It almost pulls our heart out of our chest. When God, your children are God's. Now, this is a tough one because sometimes God requires us to release our children to go do things that we wish they didn't have to do. You know, if you have a child and they want to be a missionary in a third world country, you don't really want them to do that, do you? I mean, you know how wonderful it is for them to serve, but there's danger out there. We know that. But that's God calling that child. Whatever God is speaking to your children, we have to be able to release them. Here's something that we have done with our children in the past. We have directed our children to do what we want them to do career-wise rather than what God has called them to do. The Word of God is very clear that every child has a bent. They are bent in a certain way. And if you try to require your child to be a doctor when they're supposed to be an engineer, you're getting in the way. Many people have done that. And put their children in misery. Listen, we've got to pray and ask God what he has called our children to. Maybe he's called your child to be a missionary. Maybe he's called them to be a pastor, a teacher, evangelist, a pastor, an apostle, a prophet. I don't know. That'd be wonderful. But don't try to make them that. Listen to the Spirit of God. We've got to release everything that we have or we think we have belongs to God. We've got to be willing and able to just release it to God, because he does require us to do some things sometimes that we don't like. But obedience is better than sacrifice. Being obedient, serving the living God. Okay, so now here's the next thing. Put that next scripture up there, Mary. Let me see if I can find it for you real quick, tell you which one it is. Uh, Psalms 89:11. Okay, it says, in this scripture, it says that the earth and everything, heavens, are all God's. That's good. Now, put up Psalms 115, verse 16. Now, this one will shake you a little bit. Because it's wonderful that everything belongs to God. But guess what? Not only does everything belong to God, but he's given the earth to the children of men. What does that mean? What do you mean, God, you've given us the earth? He means that he has given us the responsibility. From the very beginning, the mandate to Adam and Eve was to be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. He gave them a responsibility. They were to take that garden and expand it all over the world. That's the kingdom message. Now here, listen to me. We get the gospel message and the kingdom message mixed up. The gospel message has been preached all over the world. The kingdom message hasn't. The kingdom message is different than the gospel message. The gospel message is Jesus came to save you, to set you free, to sozo you, to deliver you, to heal you. That's the kingdom, or that's the gospel message. Jesus shed his blood on the cross for that purpose. The kingdom message is that we're to go forth and take dominion. Now, I'm not promoting that we go out and start a revolution. I'm not talking about armed rebellion here. I'm talking about within the confines of the spiritual manifestation and the spiritual mandate that God gave us. And that is to go forth and change this world.
That's right.
Amen. We've dropped the ball. We've turned it all over to the world. And it's very obvious that the world is taking advantage of it. The world knows they're planning and they're preparing. They have taken the rightful place, the place, not the rightful place, but the place that Jesus told the church to take. And let me tell you something. It doesn't take masses of people to accomplish this. It takes dedicated people who recognize that God has a plan and a purpose for us. We cannot deny that the homosexual message is being promoted everywhere you look, right? Can't deny that. Look at TV. You hear it in speeches. You see it in magazines. You see it in advertisements. Everywhere you look, even in children's programs, you're seeing that message. Do you realize that there's only about 3% of the population that is actually homosexual? 3% of our population has managed to change our culture. And they're still changing it. We have millions of believers in Jesus Christ. If we could just unite and recognize our power and authority and go forth and do what we're supposed to do. Not only preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, but impact the people, our neighbors, and our society, our workplace, for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Stand up for what is right and turn away from wrong. Man, there's sacrifice to be made. I want to tell you something. You may lose your job by taking a stand for what is right. That's a possibility. I'm not telling you everything's going to be wonderful and hunky-dory all the time. I'm telling you, there's a battle to be fought and won in Jesus' name. There's authority to walk in. That's the kingdom message. The kingdom message is that God has called his people to walk in authority, to change the culture. There are seven mountains in our culture that we need to change. Listen, the church is one of them. The church is being impacted by the homosexual agenda. It's everywhere. So this message is not to condemn homosexuals. This message is to show you that it doesn't take a large group of people to make a difference. If we will take a stand and move forward and do right. I love homosexuals. I love them enough to say, you have to change your lifestyle. just like the adulterer. You know, when the late woman was caught in adultery, what did he say to her? Go and sin no more. He didn't say, go, God has forgiven you, you can live any way you want to live, it's going to be all right. No, go and sin no more. And there are other egregious sins in the body of Christ that all those things need to be dealt with. We've got to recognize that there is a place for repentance and turning and moving into a new dimension, a new direction in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. All right. There are 65 Proverbs alone that talk about the wise and what it takes to be a wise person. It's 75 that speak to the fool and his foolishness. So we need to recognize that fools and foolishness is a part of this world. But we have the ability to know what is right. And according to the Word of God, you and I have a choice to make. We either choose to build our life on the Word of God, on the foundation, or we choose not to. That's the second point that I want to make. There are two foundations to choose from. Choose the fool's way, or choose God's way. Now, there's a story told about John Wesley. I don't know if it's true or not, but he had this adversary, this guy that didn't like him very much. And one day they were walking down a path. It was a narrow path. John was going one way and the guy was coming the other way. And this guy just started barreling toward John Wesley. You know, somebody was going to have to move out of the way. So John steps aside. And the guy went by and he says, I never, ever move out of the way for fools. And John just calmly said, I always do. There's fools. There is foolishness in this world. Let me tell you something. You look around in this world, there is absolute foolishness going on. I can't understand some of the things that are being done. I can't understand some of the decisions that are being made in this world right now. Financial decisions that are just incredible. Continuing to put nation after nation in debt where they'll never, ever be able to get out of it. Including our own nation. That's foolishness. And yet Christians are following the same pattern of foolishness. We are just as far in debt as everybody else. We need to recognize how serious this thing is. It's very serious. Our nation, over $16 trillion in debt. And some say that's just a fraction of what we really owe. There are problems. There are issues. Thank God I serve a living God that I don't have to depend on my nation to take care of me or my government to take care of me. Because many of those people are acting foolishly right now. They're not walking with any kind of wisdom. This is not a Republican or Democrat message. I'm talking about leaders that do not seem to have the mind of Christ and the things of God in the decisions that they make. It's across the board. I don't support any of them. There are very few in our Congress that I would stand with. They don't know what wisdom is because they don't have the wise one on their side. Foundations. We have to build on a strong foundation. One is a rock. One is a solid rock. The other is loose, sifting sand. How many of you ever built anything and you had to build a foundation? Most of you guys probably built something. You know, these days what we do is we dig a hole. We pour concrete in it, get a rebar and make sure it's all, you know, it's going to be good and solid. And we pour concrete in it and lay up a foundation. Well, that's a pretty good way to have a foundation. But for hundreds of years, that wasn't possible. So what they normally do was dig down to bedrock. Now, around here, many times they'd go out and get sandstone, and they would try to lay up a foundation out of sandstone and dig down in the ground a little bit and lay up a nice foundation around, and that was seemed to be a pretty good way. Their homes lasted for years and years and years built that way. But in many parts of the world and in the country, they have to dig down because their soil is such, they have to dig down to find bedrock before they can start building up. In fact, the temple in Jerusalem, evidence is that they dug down for, you know, I don't know exactly how far it was, but a distance to find bedrock to lay up the temple, Solomon's temple, because it was a huge building. In the 1930s, the Empire State Building was built. It was built in Manhattan, and they had to dig down to because of the weight of that building, to bedrock. And they went down 55 feet to find bedrock to be able to lay up the foundation. So what we see is that it is so important to have a good, solid foundation. The foundation is very important. Your foundation is important, and your foundation in as a Christian is Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That's the foundation. But that's not enough. That's not all of it. That's just the foundation. Now you have a building to build. We are the building. That's what Paul told us. We're the building. We, you know, corporately, we're the church building. Individually, we're the temple of God building. So we are that building, and we have to be built up. So just having Christ as your personal Savior is wonderful. That's a good foundation, but there's more to it. And it says the rest of, you know, we're built on apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. You know, we're built up through these people sharing the Word of God with us and teaching us the Word of God and discipling people. God has given some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saint, for the work of the ministry, for the edification of the body of Christ. So, foundation, and then we move on from there. Get a good foundation. Number three, wise men build on the rock with quality materials. Very important foundation, but there's more to it, as I was just saying. We've got to build on this good, solid foundation that God has given it. And that means that we stand on the Word. We build our house on the Word of God. We respond to the Word of God. In verse 24, go back to verse 24 there with me. Jesus said this, "Therefore, whoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house on a rock." Jesus himself is telling us that there's more to it than just believing in him as the Messiah and recognize that he died on the cross for our sins, turning from our wicked ways. There's more to it than that. You've got to do what he says. The Greek word there for word is logos, of course, and it means to utter by a living voice. And to do means to produce, construct, fashion. So Jesus is saying, listen, you've got to do what I'm saying. I say, I teach you. If you love me, keep my commandments, Jesus said. But the body of Christ is losing it. We're missing it. Because we are not doing what Jesus said to do. We're losing our families. Our marriages are falling apart at the same rate the world is falling apart. We're in debt just like the world. We have problems. Our children, our teenagers are rebelling at the same rate as the world. We're going to the same movies. Reading the same kind of magazines. Watching the same kind of smut on TV as the world. We have the same habits, the same addictions, the same problems, and the same issues as the world. No wonder the world looks at us and says, What do you got that I don't have? The only thing different about you is you go to church on Sunday morning. What's going to be different about us? What needs to be different about us? We need to have our lives built on the rock, on the solid foundation. And then we need to build up this house with the Word of God. It's the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. You see, you get your faith built up by hearing and knowing what the Word of God says. That's why it's so important. Yes, you know, I'm not trying to discourage you from coming to church on Sunday mornings. I want you to come to church. Okay. Maybe I need to back up a little bit and say, it's wonderful that you come to church. Praise God. I don't care what kind of problems you have. You need to be here. You know, that will help. That's what this is all about. But we've got to put it in action. We've got to apply it to our lives. We've got to learn and grow in the Word of God, because it's the Word that will change us. I can lay hands on you all day long. And in many times, there is deliverance. But if you walk out of this place with deliverance and you don't apply the Word of God to your life, you're going to be right back in the same condition you were in before. You got to change things. You got to change your thinking. Our philosophy has to be different than this world. We are a new creature in Christ. We are above and not beneath. We are His people. Called out. Called out. We are called the sons of God. No generation before, or no people before, Jesus Christ was able to say that they were the sons of God. The children of Israel, they referred to themselves as children of God, but this is more a more intimate word. The sons of God. The sons and daughters of the living God. We have that face-to-face relationship with our God. It's something that is so much different than anybody ever had in the past. In John chapter 1, turn here with me real quick. I won't be long with this. John chapter 1, verse 1 through 4. I want to show you how important the Word of God is. Are you there? Raise your hand. You got it. All right. Praise God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Hallelujah. Jesus was there in the beginning. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the Word, look at verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Hallelujah. The Logos was there. Jesus, the spoken word, the living word, the powerful word. It was there in the very beginning. And according to the scripture, Jesus is the living Word of God. The same Word. It's alive. You see this thing? The words recorded in it are alive. They're not just words on paper. They are alive. That's why I can pick it up and read the same scripture that I've read over and over and over again. And this time it speaks to me in a different way. Whatever my situation is, it speaks to me. And when you pick it up, you have a different situation and it speaks to you. Because it's alive. It's real. It's powerful. We don't treat it like it's real. We treat it like it's make-believe. We treat it like it's fable, but it's real. It's powerful. It's alive. It has changed my life. It has made me a new creature in Christ. It has made me a new person. But I want to tell you something. It didn't happen overnight. Yes, sir. It won't happen overnight to you. Oh, I've had some things happen over. I've had some miracles. I've had some manifestations. I've had some deliverance take place in my life. Just like that. Hallelujah. But I've hung on to it because of this. Because it's alive. because it speaks to me. When the enemy comes back and tries to tell me, you didn't really get set free, I say, oh, yes, yes, I did. Yes, the blood of Jesus set me free. The power of God, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I have the mind of Christ. Enemy, get thee behind me in Jesus' name. The word of God is powerful, and you can hold on to it, and you can stand against the wiles, the schemes of the devil as he schemes against you. Hallelujah. You know, when I'm finished with this series of messages, I'm going to talk about, I'm going to use John Bevere's book, The Bait of Satan. And I'm going to do a series of teachings on forgiveness and I just lost it completely. What is it?
Offense,
yeah. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Man, praise God. That's crazy. Just slipped my mind. I think it's out there in the cloud. How many of you have an iPhone? I lose things in the cloud all the time. Sheesh. Hallelujah. Offense. How powerful offense is. And how powerful it is not to allow it to come into your life. You can be set free from it. Amen. Okay, so we're going to do a series on that. But right now, I just want you to understand, because the reason I mentioned that is because it's the word of God that keeps us from being offended.
That's right. Come on,
son. You know? I have opportunity to be offended all the time. Every day of my life, I can be offended. My wife offends me. You believe that? She's a wonderful person. I love her. You know, and I do my best to treat her the way I should. I don't always. I sometimes get offended. I sometimes walk in that offense, and I have to ask for forgiveness and get back out of it. Amen. Come on. Are you alive? Do these things happen to you? You know, it's rare. That speaks volumes about your wife. Hey, she's near perfect. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. The word of God is alive. And this is the thing that will build the house. That's what I want you to know this morning. It's not just the foundation that you want built. It's the house. You know, the foundation is just what you build on. And it's wonderful that you have Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You have all the promises that he has given you. You get to go to heaven, or you get to reign with him, whichever comes first. I'm not sure what that's going to be. Hallelujah. But regardless, you get that. You've got that. But there's more to it than that.
That's right.
There's this life that you have to live. Yes. It's that person sitting beside of you that you have to deal with every day. It's those children that make you want to pull your hair out. It's that boss at the job that's picking on you. Why is he picking on you? He just likes to pick on you. He's trying to make your life miserable, he or she. Let me qualify that. It's these relationships. You see, it's life. Man, I praise God for my past. For my mother and my father that taught me and raised me in church, taught me to walk according to the word of God, even though I was a fool for many years and didn't listen. And I admit, I was a fool. Absolutely. Thank God for that. But I want to tell you something. Growing up, the teachings, the most of the preaching and teaching was not the kind of stuff that would build you up as a person and help you deal with day-to-day life. It wasn't because they were trying to do anything wrong. They were trying to preach and teach and do good things. They were doing what they could. But most of it was hellfire, brimstone, hell, you know, get out of hell, basically. So you don't go to hell. But what we need is, we've got that. We did pretty good with that, right? The Baptist taught us how to stay out of hell. Receive Jesus as your personal Savior. Okay. But what do you do with this hell that you're living in? Some of you feel like that. Well, I can tell you what to do. I can show you what you're supposed to do from the Word of God. I can tell you how you're supposed to deal with your brother when he offends you. And it's not like this.
Oh my goodness.
It's with love, compassion. I can tell you, I can show you from the Word of God how a man and a woman are supposed to interact with one another in marriage.
Yes, sir.
You have to apply it, but I can teach you. I can show you what you're supposed to and how you're supposed to handle your finances based on the Word of God. Are you to raise your children? And I'm not telling you that if you do raise your children in the church and in a godly family, that they're not going to rebel. You're still going to have some of that. God, my mom knows. And she's experienced it. She doesn't like me to talk about it. But it's real. And it wasn't her fault. I had made my own choice. But thank God for that foundation. It was laid because I came back to it. And hallelujah. Guess what? When I came back, there it was. It was there. It had already been laid. There was a hole there with a good foundation. All I had to do was build on it. Glory be to God. Remember that, parents. You're laying a good foundation. They'll come back to it. They know it. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's turn it to Deuteronomy. All right. What time is it? We got the time on. I don't have my, what?
11:37.
All right. Somebody give me a, how long have I been preaching? Somebody tell me. Huh? Not enough. Okay. You guys up front are saying that. There's people in the back are saying, get this over with. Deuteronomy 28. All right. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Find this one real quick. All right. Beginning with verse 1. This is what you can receive. Now, some people would say, well, Pastor, that's the Old Testament. That's right. It is the Old Testament. Hallelujah, it's the Old Testament. Praise God, it's the Old Testament. Because it applies to you and to me just as much as the New Testament. Jesus said, I didn't come to do away with it. I came to fulfill it. I came so that you could receive these things. Now listen to what he said you can have. Now it shall come to pass if you diligently obey the word, the voice of the Lord. Diligently obey. How many have ever done anything diligently? You know, when I get on a task, I diligently do it. The wind tore our storm door off. And not completely off, but bent it and, you know, messed up the hardware and everything on it. So I had to take it off. And once I got it off, I could see that there was paint chipping around this door frame and the seal, and so that one thing led to another. I had to take that all apart and sand it, and I started sanding, and dust started going all over the place, and Tammy had just cleaned the house, so that was an issue. And, you know, one thing after another. You know how it goes. But I was diligently doing my job. I was going to do that with my utmost ability. I couldn't leave that paint chipping off there and just fix the door. I had to do the complete job. Are you that way? You have to diligently do things? You know, we need to teach our children to diligently be about their business, whatever it is they do. We have a whole generation that does not understand being diligent about things. Put your whole heart into it. With all your might, whatever your hands find to do, do it with all your might. Diligently. So we understand what it means to diligently do it. So let's diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord. Do the things that Jesus commanded us. You know, it's really very simple. Jesus said, all the law is fulfilled in these two things. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets is fulfilled in that. If we can walk in love toward our God and toward mankind, we will fulfill the law and the prophets. And guess what? If you do that, observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. How would you like to have your family set high above all the nations of the earth? The body of Christ can be high above. We should be high above. Our standards should be high above. Our actions should be high above. Our life should be high above. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. They're going to come up. If you do what you're supposed to do according to the word of God, you do not have to run around trying to get the blessings of God. They will chase you down and get a hold of you.
That's right.
Man, that's exciting, isn't it? They'll chase after you. Pastor Otis just said, hot pursuit. They will be in hot pursuit after you. You've seen the TV programs where the police officers are in hot pursuit. Gee whiz. After the criminal. Well, and then they're going to chase that guy down and they're going to get him. This is what the Word of God is saying about you. If you will diligently do what the Word of God tells you to do, the blessings are not something you have to worry about. The blessings will come, chase you down, overtake you, wrestle you to the ground if they have to. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Jump on you. Overtake you. Man, become a part of you. Hallelujah. When I wrestle with my grandchildren, I used to wrestle with my children. We used to call it romping and playing. We'd romp and play. And Tammy would get so upset with me because I'd wait until bedtime. And then we would get out there and romp and play. Woo! Our kids would just be bouncing off the wall when it was time to go to bed. I'd say, here, take them. Hallelujah. No, that's not true. I would help. But, you know, they look forward to that. And they knew the dad was going to grab them, or Papaw's going to grab them and tickle them and play with them and roll around on the floor with them. And I wasn't going to let them get away. When they'd try to get away, I'd grab them by the leg and pull them back. Another one would try to get away, I'd grab him and pull him back by the arm. I'm not going to let them get away. God will not let you get away from the blessings. He's going to grab you and pull you back.
Yes, sir.
They're yours.
Yes, sir.
They're here to overtake you. Hallelujah. Woo. Bless. Now listen to this. Bless. I say these things when I pray, some of them, for our offering. Blessed you shall be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall you be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall you your baskets and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. Hallelujah. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and before you and flee before you seven ways. Whew. Man, those are the things that are going to come and overtake you. Your responsibility is obey the word of God. Obey the word. See, when we run around here trying to get the blessings because we want stuff, we miss it. We miss it because we're not chasing after the right thing. Chase after God and the word of God. And he has promised that his blessings will overtake you. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Gosh, I've got so many things I could share with you, but I'm going to wrap things up here this morning. We do not understand. I'm talking about all of us. I really don't think we grasp the kind of blessings that God wants to bring upon us. We think we understand, we think we know, but we really, really don't understand it all. And some of you are saying, well, you know, I've been waiting for the blessings of God forever. Where are they? Well, Abraham waited a long time for the promise. Moses waited a long time to have his calling fulfilled. There is a waiting period sometimes. But our responsibility is to diligently do and obey the word of God. And one day we'll just look and we'll look around. We may not think we're blessed, but listen, most of you sitting in here are blessed people.
Amen. Amen.
I don't care what you're going through, you are blessed. You have blessed families. You have blessed relationships. You're blessed with jobs. You're blessed people. God has blessed you. And it's God, only God, that can bring those kind of blessings into your life. Stand with me. There's a fable told about couple men that were going through the desert, and they stopped and they got off their horses. They were looking for water, and suddenly they heard a voice. They were close to an oasis, so there were pebbles all around, and they heard a voice, and it said, bend down and take a handful of pebbles and fill your pockets. And then the voice said, you will be sad. You will be both sad and glad. They're both glad and sad. And this was night, so they did what they read. They got some pebbles and they rode on to their destination. And when they got to their destination, it was light, and they got off their horses and they went into their pockets, and what they put in was pebbles, but what they pulled out was handfuls of gems, priceless gems. And they realized they were both glad and sad. They were glad they did what they were told, but they wished they had done more. You know, that's probably the way it's going to be on the day of judgment. You know, we'll be glad that we did what we did, but we'll realize so much more could have been done if we'd have just had the faith and the belief and the trust in our God. Wow. Praise God. Bow your head with me. Father God, as we go through this stewardship campaign and these stewardship messages, I just ask that you would touch people where they are. I don't want to lay any kind of condemnation on anyone, Lord. I just want them to feel your spirit and walk according to your will and your power. I want lives to be changed. I want hearts to be renewed. I want destinies to be changed and altered. I want people to be built up by your power. Because only you can do that, Father. Today, we just commit our lives. If there's anyone in here, Father God, today, that they just want to make a new commitment to serving you with all your heart and soul. You know what's going on in their heart. They need to not only have the foundation, they know that they need to build their house with the proper materials, your word. So I thank you, Father God, that you're speaking to people, that you're touching them, and that you're causing things to happen. In Jesus' name, stir hearts. Thank you, Lord God. We praise you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. If there's anyone who would like to have healing prayer, please come up and I'll pray with you for healing.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I'm excited about 2013 and what God is doing in and with the body of Christ. The world is in turmoil, but Jesus promised that he has overcome the world. Proverbs tells us to trust in the Lord with all our heart, and he will direct our path. I pray this message will help you find God's path for your life. If you would like to know more about the ministry of Bethel Worship Center, visit our website at www.bethel.org. Have a blessed day.